It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Harris Faulkner. And this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, March 25th, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. Israel won't brief the Biden administration about battle plans for Rafah now that the U.S. refused to veto a U.N. resolution against it. And that means a ceasefire is still out of reach in Gaza.
Negotiations in Qatar are falling apart. There is real distance between Hamas and Israel and what an agreement should look like toward a ceasefire. And there is this pressure, growing diplomatic pressure from the United States for the Israelis not to enter Rafah.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on foxnewspodcast.com.
It has been no secret the Biden administration is not fully approved of Israel's actions in Gaza as it fights its war on Hamas, a response to the Gaza terror syndicate's attacks on Israel last October, killing 1,200 Israelis, mostly civilians in their homes, many children, women, and the elderly. Israel has been adamant about a need to bring its fight to the last Hamas stronghold city of Rafah. The U.S., along with European powers and the U.N., have been demanding Israel not proceed. But now the U.S. abstained in a U.N. vote on a resolution demanding Israel cease fire, as opposed to using its veto power to quash it. And Vice President Kamala Harris publicly said an Israeli strike in Rafah would be a red line. And so in response to that, Israel's prime minister is calling off a planned delegation he was sending to the White House to brief them on Israel's options for Rafah.
It's unclear the timeline the Israelis are looking at to enter Rafah and if they're actually even going to do it.
Trey Yingst is our Fox News correspondent who has not only been on the lines of battle with the Israeli soldiers, he's on top of the decision making by Israel's government. He talks to us from Tel Aviv.
Just the threat of entering Rafah is something that gives them a heads up in the negotiations. It gives them the ability to negotiate using force, which is something from the beginning of this conflict, top officials in Israel have said is giving them the ability to control the negotiating table with Hamas. Now, what happened today? The UN Security Council passed a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the release of all hostages. The vote was 14-0, and the United States abstained. That angered Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who knew it just took that single abstention for this resolution to pass. And it put new pressure on Israel. There was an expectation among Israeli officials that the Americans would continue to veto any resolution as these negotiations and conversations were ongoing. And in response, the Prime Minister in Israel basically told his team that was headed to Washington tonight, Ron Dermer, the strategic affairs minister, and Tsaki Hanegbi, the national security advisor to the prime minister, not to go. And this is significant because it comes at a time when negotiations in Qatar are falling apart. There is real distance between Hamas and Israel and what an agreement should look like toward a ceasefire. And there is this pressure, growing diplomatic pressure from the United States for the Israelis not to enter Rafah and continue their military operation in Gaza.
Maybe it's this may be a situation where it's the image or the optics, as the word is often used. It may differ from the reality, but this appears to be some of the biggest bit of daylight between the Israeli government and the American government that we've seen in quite some time. Often there is a lot of consensus between the two and a lot of, if not overt, but just simply tacit permission for the Israeli government to do as it sees fit with regard to its own national security and any wars it may find itself wrapped up in. But this almost looks like it's a rift, and that that is newsworthy at the very least.
Absolutely. It's very significant. And when we look at what else is going on as we speak, you think about the possibility of this causing a fracture in the military and security agreements between Israel and the United States. Right now, Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, is in Washington. He's meeting with top Biden administration officials. And according to reports, he is making requests for specific weapons that the Israelis need, not to operate in Gaza, but to operate in Lebanon if a war with Hezbollah erupts on a broader scale than it already has since October 8th. Now, the real question here is, if a broader conflict erupts on the Northern Front, will the Israelis be supported by the Americans? And will they be given the military supplies to conduct an operation or hold their own in a broader conflict with this Iran-backed group? And that question has not yet been answered. And so there will be a tough conversation taking place today in Washington between the defense minister. We also understand he's meeting with his counterpart, Lloyd Austin. And when he returns to Israel, there may or may not be updates to the ongoing conversations taking place in Doha. And if there aren't, there is this question of what comes next. Will the Israelis operate knowing that the Americans do not want them to enter Rafah? And when we look at this really through a nuanced lens, understanding that this is not an operation that will simply take place in a matter of hours or a decision that will be made overnight, it will require the evacuation of an estimated 1.4 million Palestinian civilians that are currently sheltering in Gaza's southernmost city. And that is something that, if we look at recent history, such as the evacuations from northern Gaza, indicates it will take weeks to do. And so there will be signs that the Israelis are going to enter Rafah. And again, this could just be posturing from top Israeli officials to get a better seat at the negotiating table.
We are speaking with Fox News correspondent Trey Yingst. He is in Tel Aviv reporting on the decision by Israel's prime minister to call off a delegation to the Biden administration in Washington, where they would have updated them on their military plans for Rafah in southern Gaza and other things in their ongoing war against Hamas. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. Over the past week, we have seen another Israeli operation, not necessarily in Rafah, but at the Al-Shifa Hospital, which I believe is in central Gaza. The Israelis have said that they either captured or neutralized a very high number of Hamas targets, many who were, in some words, hiding among the patients at the Al-Shifa Hospital. Hamas side of things has said there was they accused the Israelis of a massacre. They accused the Israelis of raping Palestinian women at the hospital, which had, I guess, been used as a shelter, or so they claim. What can you tell us about the wrap up from this operation? Because the Israelis seem to be celebrating this as a big victory, not just in terms of defeating militants, but also as an intelligence grab.
Yeah. So the Israelis are still, as we speak, operating in Gaza's largest medical complex, the Al-Shifa Hospital, that is in the center of Gaza City. And this is not the first time that they've operated there, but they've been there for the past week conducting what they say is a counterterrorism operation against Hamas and Islamic Jihad. Now, I was on a briefing today with a top Israeli official who indicated they have killed 180 militants from Hamas and Islamic Jihad, and they have arrested more than 500. Now, thinking about those numbers, we're talking about 680 that they're acknowledging here, and they say that there are still ongoing battles taking place in the complex. I question those numbers, and I raised this question to this official on the briefing, because that is a significant number of militants to have in one location. And if we look at the way that Hamas has been fighting this war against Israel, it's done in cells of one, two, sometimes three militants at a time who will pop out of a tunnel or a building and fire an RPG toward Israeli soldiers and then retreat to a location. The idea that Hamas gathered hundreds of their fighters in the hospital is something that we have to look at and demand evidence to support the claims by the Israelis. Now, there is no doubt that Hamas has used medical facilities in Gaza for their operations. There's no doubt that they are currently using Shifa Hospital. There have been battles unfolding inside this hospital complex. The Israelis have released drone video showing the firefights taking place. But the number here is what we are focused on, and we're trying to get more information to confirm exactly what the Israelis are saying and why, after 7 days of continuous battle inside this complex with elite Israeli forces, have they not been able to secure this area? And so there are a lot of questions right now about this Israeli operation that is taking place in Gaza's largest hospital. In the past, we have entered this hospital amid the war with Israeli forces.
Yeah.
There was a small tunnel complex underneath the facility, and also weapons recovered from buildings inside this compound.
Obviously, there would be a need to secure it first if they would want to bring in press, and they have to, I guess, glean whatever intelligence they can first before they would open it up to tours like such as that. But they've been there before. So I guess the big question is why wasn't it secured the first time? Is that a legitimate question to ask?
It's a great question. And the answer is that the Israelis have been overconfident in the ability to destroy Hamas inside Gaza. This is an organization that can fight from civilian areas in civilian clothes with any weapons they can get their hands on. This is not a structured army. They are now fighting, in many cases, guerrilla warfare in a dense urban battle environment against Israeli forces. And they can reconstitute. They can gather what forces are left, who's willing to fight, and take them to a location and continue the battle against Israel. Israel was not able to go through every inch of the Gaza Strip and collect the RPGs and the small arms that Hamas has hidden in different areas. And that's part of what they are using now to fight the Israelis. It appears in this complex at the hospital in the center of Gaza City. And the short answer to the question is that once Israel left the hospital, and again, we were there as firefights were taking place hours after they first took part of Shifa Hospital, once they left, Hamas was able to go back and use the facility to their advantage. Now, the difficult part here when you're covering this story is getting the reality, the true reality of what's taking place on the ground, because the Israelis from the beginning of this conflict have exaggerated the amount of storage and the amount that this facility was used as a command center. They released an infographic that was generated by a computer that showed layers and layers of tunnels underneath Shifa Hospital. Now, when we went there, we saw a tunnel, and it connected to a tunnel outside the hospital that Hamas could use easily to supply weapons and fighters. But the allegation that it was used as a command center with multi-layers underground, we haven't yet been able to confirm that. Now, at the same time, when you go to the flip side, Hamas says they haven't used the hospital at all, and it's, the Israelis are simply entering the facility, and they are slaughtering civilians. And as we saw yesterday in a report that was certainly never verified and never had any validity to begin with, there were some reports in Palestinian media that Israeli forces were raping civilians at the hospital. Now, any objective observer knew that wasn't the case, but it was a rumor that quickly circulated around the internet.
Right.
And it just gives you a sense of the information war that's taking place in this really complex environment where it is difficult to get a really clear picture about what exactly is unfolding.
Trey Yingst, our Fox News correspondent in Tel Aviv, thank you so much once again for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.